guys covering Ohio State football. It means a lot to us. And you know that not every day is perfect, but got a lot of great guys here with great character, and it means a lot. It's has a lot to do with our program. And so I want to thank you guys for that. I also want to thank everybody involved in the program this year. You know, from our medical personnel, sports medicine, strength and conditioning, and everybody in the building. That's, you can't just point one person out because you know, you'd be slighting somebody else. But everything that went into this year, you can't really put it into words, the amount of adjusting sacrifice that went on this season to make this season even possible. Forget to get all the way to the national championship game. And because of the people around, and you guys included, it's our administration, it's everybody, President Johnson, Gene Smith, all the way down to the people who work in facilities. You know, there's student workers here who are around the clock, you know, spraying disinfectant and cleaning the facility to make sure that we have what we need. Without all of those people, none of this is possible. So I just want to go on record for thanking everybody for everything that went on this season. I also just want to thank Greg Madison for everything he's done. He's going to be retiring here after an unbelievable career at the end of the month. He's a special guy. He and Ann, his wife, have been so gracious to Nina and I in helping us in our first 2 years as head coach. And his career is speaks for itself. You know, what he's done and accomplished on the field, but more importantly, it's what he's done off the field. The relationship and respect he has around the country as one of the best coaches and the impact he's had on so many people. So I can't thank him enough for what he's done. I know he's going to really miss it, but he's going to have an opportunity to spend some time with his grandkids and his children after an unbelievable career in coaching football. We're working on replacing Greg. Will not be easy, but we're going to you know, get to work on that here. I don't have any updates for you in that area, but we'll be working on that. He will not be an easy guy to replace. So I just want to say thanks to Greg. And then with that, Mike, we'll start with questions.
All right. Awesome. Thank you, Coach. And we got a lot of hands raised. So for this first round, we'll just limit it to one question. Then we'll go back around. We'll start out with Dave Biddle, 247.
Thank you. Hey, and thanks for saying that, Ryan. That's much appreciated. You've had a tremendous amount of success with the transfer portal since you've been in charge. You're 3-for-3 with Justin Fields, Jonah Jackson, and Trey Sermon. I know you're not going to get into specific names, but maybe some position groups you might be targeting in the portal this offseason. Just kind of what's your game plan there, Coach?
Well, I think when you look at our team right now, first off, we have a great culture. And the first thing is anytime you bring anybody in, whether it's a coach or a player, they have to fit our culture. And when you go through and you look at, you know, where we've recruited in the position groups, we're pretty healthy in most positions. So we're always looking at that. And now more than ever, you know, Mark Pantone and his staff are always looking to see who's out there. But it has to be the right fit. And, you know, we feel like there's a lot of guys in our program right now that can play for us. You know, we just came off a very successful season, didn't finish the way we wanted it to, but I think that there's a lot of good young players in the program. And so I think we're pretty healthy. But that being said, we're always going to be looking to see if we can, you know, upgrade in different areas if need be. So it's not like there's an area where, oh my God, we got to get somebody there. That's not the case, but we're always looking.
Thank you.
All righty. We'll go next to Austin Ward, Letterman Row.
Ryan, I asked you after the game last week about, you know, trying to get a break and all that. What is the plan now as you guys try to get back to some sense of normalcy? I'm sure you'd have to keep testing to have a spring practice or workouts or all that. What kind of normalcy can you guys have, and what's the plan for the next 6 or 7 weeks?
Yeah, you know, we're kind of getting everybody out of here after a long, long run. I think it's really important for everyone to just take a deep breath and get away from each other. You know, we missed our families, the players missed their families, and we got tired of looking at each other every day for for the last however many months it's been. So guys are still recharging. Really, we're starting to get some of our mid-year guys in here, 14 mid-year guys this weekend, which is exciting. They have to quarantine for a week before they can do anything. But they've already started virtual classes, which is great for them. Really excited for them to get going. Very unique situation for them to be here with no students, quarantine. You know, it's not ideal. But I told our Australian punter Jesse, I said, it only gets up. It only gets better from here. He's going from Australia to here. 28 degrees the other day, no students on campus, quarantining for a week. It can't get any worse. So I promise you it's going to get better, but he's great. He's excited to be here. And then a lot of the families are checking in this weekend. But then once February 1st hits, that's when we start getting back to work with lifting, our off-season program with Mick. And then we'll get into spring ball as we get into March. But like you said, you know, COVID hasn't gone away. So it's not like we all of a sudden can just start getting back to normal. But the goal is, you know, how quickly can we get back to normal? And I think that's another thing I did want to bring up here was that I'm really proud of our whole program for not only winning the championship, the Big Ten championship, and going on and making it to the national championship, but the fact that we really followed the protocol to keep our guys safe. And we did a great job of that. We did not cut any corners. We worked really hard to make sure our guys were safe, but also compete. And that was really the conversation starting when the Big Ten canceled the season. We just wanted a chance to go play, but also be safe. And we did that. And it was hard. I mean, you talk about contact tracing all the way up until the last game, losing guys, you know, throughout this season, guys being pulled out, the constant testing and all the things that went with that. We'd have virtual meetings. We wouldn't always have guys together during the week, you know, practices really being canceled and turned to walkthroughs. You know, we made so many adjustments along the way to make sure our guys were safe, but then also competed at a high level. And again, we can't just buzz by that because there was so much done to make sure that happened. So it's a long answer, Austin, but you know, we're trying to get back to that normalcy, but at the same time, we do have to make sure we follow the protocol until we get a little bit more clearance.
All righty. We'll go next to Nathan Baird, cleveland.com.
Hey, Ryan, can you give us a little bit more detail as far as replacing Greg's position? Anything you're looking for in specificity there in terms of positional attachment? And do you see that person also still being another co-defensive coordinator or what exactly are you trying to find for the staff there?
Yeah, no, great question. I think we have a really good group of guys there right now who are versatile. And so we're going to look at all options. You know, is there somebody else out there that can take Greg's spot in the same exact role that he did, or are we going to just move some things around and reassign some of the job descriptions? That's all up on the table, and we're working on that now and, you know, looking at all different options. So, no, I'm not really set on this is exactly what the role needs to be, and want to just put the best group together to go give our guys on defense the best chance to be successful.
All righty, we'll go next to Dan Hope, 11 Warriors.
Hey, Ryan, obviously you guys got some good news this past week with, you know, Chris Olave coming back and Haskell Garrett coming back, Thayer Munford coming back. Just how big is it for you guys to be able to get, you know, some of these guys, including guys who would have been seniors this past year, to sign up for one more year with the Buckeyes?
I think it's unbelievable. And I think it speaks not only to our leadership, but again, you know, you keep hearing me saying, I know it gets old, but it's true. It's our culture and the environment here. But you know, for those guys who decided to come back, what a great opportunity for them. It just goes to show their maturity. You know, they not only they love their teammates and love Ohio State, you know, because they still have unfinished business here at Ohio State. They want to maximize themselves as players here in college, but then also in the NFL. And I think that's what a lot of them understood was that, you know, it's one thing to go be able to play in the NFL. It's another thing to be ready when you get there. And I think that these guys understand that. And, you know, there's so many people that just want to run to the NFL and go start making money. And that's great. But at the end of the day, you have to perform and you have to produce. So what allows you the best opportunity once you're there? You know, if they're going to be paying you money to play, they're not really interested in developing you all that much. They want you to produce when you get there. So, you know, we didn't have a huge season. We didn't have a whole off season, you know, spring ball and all the stuff that we do in the off season to make sure that they're done, you know, ready physically with Coach Mick. They'll have a whole season now where they can prepare physically to be really good players in the fall and have a whole full season. So I think when you combine all of those things, that's the reason they came back. But I think a lot has to do with their brothers and how much they love being around their teammates. And so, you know, we're very, very excited to get those guys back and gives us a huge boost as we head into the spring.
All righty, we'll go next to Bill Landis, The Athletic.
Hey, Ryan, following up on what Nathan asked you about the guy you're going to hire to replace Greg, when you hired Kerry, I don't believe Kerry had any kind of experience running sort of that Pete Carroll style of defense that you guys sort of adapted in 2019. Would you like to hire somebody who has more experience in that potentially, or is it possible that maybe you not move on from that, but you know, adapt a little bit and not have that just be kind of the sole identity of the defense moving forward?
Yeah, I think both are possibilities. I think to bring somebody in who knows that style of defense, you know, as the season went on, you know, we weren't just solely in that. We went to some too high stuff. We went to a little bit more zone pressure. And so it's going to evolve, and it will evolve, like you're saying. But yeah, anybody who has a background in, you know, four down, you know, a single high defense certainly would fit quicker. But then also bringing in somebody that has a little bit more of a diverse background can give us different perspective and areas where we can both, you know, maximize who we have. And I think that's what's important, because, you know, we try to do that all the time on offense. And I think that's going to be important. We do that on defense is based on who we have that year, what gives us the best chance to be successful. And if it's to continue to be in a single high cover three, let's do it. But if it's not, what are the things? And so, you know, do we want to have some continuity there and keep that going, or do we want to bring in somebody with a different perspective? So all the discussions that are being had now.
All righty, we'll go next to Tony Gerdeman, Buckeye Scoop.
Brian, about your getting Haskell Garrett and Antoine Jackson back with the loss of Tommy Togia, how important just getting those two guys back, including the loss of Tommy?
Yeah, you know, wish Tommy nothing but the best, certainly. I wish we had him back, but really excited that Haskell and Antoine are back. You know, I thought they played really well. I mean, that was, as you know, one of the concerns going into the season was just, you know, what is that going to look like in there? And Haskell took the next step. So I still think that, you know, Haskell's got a lot of area to grow. I mean, he really came on the scene quickly this year. So now with another whole season of preparation, I think he can be one of the better inside defensive tackles in the country going into next year. And Antoine played much better this year. I thought our defensive tackles played strong. And I think that, you know, we're going to have some good depth there, and we've got to develop some of the younger guys that need to come on. Some guys who were injured there, they're going to have to step up. And then we'll have, you know, a couple young guys coming in here and then in the summer that hopefully can battle for some time. But when you think about Haskell's situation, you know, you don't know this, but he did, you know, he had COVID early in the summer. Then he had his issue where he was out for a while before the season. And so there was really no lead up into the season for him. And then he still played the way he did. So with a whole good off season, he's also done a good job in leadership, being strong for our guys. He and Antoine are, you know, really happy to have those guys back, not only as football players, but as leaders.
Righty, we'll go next to Doug Lamorese, Cleveland.com.
Hey, Ryan, I'm going to try to ask an X and O's question. So bear with me or tell me where I'm wrong on this. But to follow up what Landis asked, it feels like the last 2 years you guys played a lot of single high during the regular season. And then when you got to the playoff against Clemson last year or this year, you played a little more too high in situations. Before I continue my question, is that a fair way to phrase that, or would you disagree with that?
I think that we've mixed in a few things. Not as much last year, a little bit more this year, I would say.
Okay. So I guess my question is, if, you know, there are very few passing attacks like that Alabama passing attack. We know that. But if when you get to that part of the season, which is what you guys are trying to do, you maybe think, okay, well, maybe we're going to mix in some other things or play a little more too high, maybe because, you know, this passing attack is so good. Would it make sense to do that all year? You know, even if you aren't facing those kind of passing attacks, but that so when you get to the playoffs and the ultimate goal, all your guys are accustomed to doing that all the time. And again, tell me if I'm looking at it the wrong way, but it's more of a follow up on the philosophical idea of what you do in Big Ten play versus what you maybe do in the playoff defensively.
No, it's good. It's good, Doug. I mean, I don't know how long it took you to come up with that question, but that was good. I mean, It's as always for you, it's deep, but I think it's a great question, because to your point, when you go against somebody as good as Alabama, you know, you first off, I thought we did a good job against Clemson. I thought our guys played good. We created turnovers and they played really well there. You know, I thought we played well for the most part against Northwestern. You know, we didn't play very good against Indiana. And there were times early in the season where it just, you know, it didn't look the way it should. And then it all kind of culminated at the end against Alabama. And I think to your point is, how do we forecast that out? You know, when you're going against a great passing defense, what do you need for mix-ups? But then also, what can you execute at a high level? And that's coaching. And I think that's the delicate balance that you weigh as you move on, you know. And this season was a little harder because we didn't have as many – first off, we had some interruptions just in terms of, you know, practice and things like that. We only practiced one day in pads leading up to the national championship game. Not that it's an excuse. It's just, I think when you look at the number of games we had, you know, you find out a little bit more about your defense. You can experiment with some things a little bit more when you have, you know, five or six more games than we did. But again, I think that's the line that you toe and you try to figure that out. You know, what do you feel like you can handle? And I think it was a culmination of things there at the end, but certainly things that we got to look at as we go into the season and all big time discussions that we have to get right going into the next fall.
All righty. We'll follow that up with Bill Rabinowitz from the Columbus Dispatch.
Hi, Ryan. In a lot of ways, it was a successful year, even just getting through it. But Alabama, as you know, kind of Doug alluded to, I mean, Alabama was clearly the better team that night. And yes, that was a special team. But in terms of, you know, how big is the gap between Alabama and where you guys are? How close are you to, do you think, being able to win the national title? And how confident are you that in 2021, COVID won't dominate everything? You can kind of have a normal season.
That's another good question. I think, first off, the gap is a lot closer now than if we had not played a season. I mean, you know, if Alabama had gone through this whole season and we had not played a season, the gap would be really hard to catch. I don't think it's that far off. But like you said, that night, you know, they were the better team and they beat us soundly. And so there's a lot of areas, and I think there's a lot of things that led to that, that we got to get addressed and get fixed to get to that point. But, you know, take nothing away from Alabama. Like you said, they're a good team, but it's more about us. And with a great offseason, a great spring ball, a great preseason, and, you know, 12-game regular season, and then a postseason leading into the game, I feel great, you know, and I think that's always going to be our goal.
All righty, we'll go next to Mitch Stacy, Associated Press.
Hey, Ryan. Regarding the quarterbacks and who might start next year, you got your spring practice wiped out by COVID last year. And I know that was going to be an important time to, you know, get a look at C.J. Stroud and Jack Miller. With the way the season went and not getting them, either one of them, much playing time, do you feel like you're behind in, you know, getting to know them and getting to know who can do what, working towards the goal of, you know, trying to figure out who the starter is?
And I wish we were further along. I wish they had gotten more game reps, which you don't really know what you have in a quarterback till they're playing in the game. You know, these guys had very, very limited reps, which you would have more, like you said, if you had a normal spring preseason and then a season. So I think about last, you know, 2 years ago, you know, Justin was kind of out of the game for most of the second half for the first seven or eight games, I think it was, you know, and so there was a lot of snaps out there to be had. Right now, we didn't have those snaps. So, yeah, I wish we were further along. We get to see them in practice every day, but really what matters is how they play. And so we're going to have to find ways this spring between, you know, CJ, Jack, and Kyle to give them as many game-like situations to figure out exactly what we got, to your point, because we can't go into that first game without knowing, you know, or at least having an idea. I guess we'll never know until we're in a game, but we're going to try to simulate the games the best we can in practice, which may be unique way of doing the spring, you know? And so we're going to look at all those things to try to figure that out because we need to be further along because that's going to be a huge part of what happens in the fall.
All righty, we'll go next to Brendan Gulick, Buckeyes Now on SI.
Hey, Ryan, hope you've enjoyed a couple of days off here. Kind of following up on both the spring ball type question and also with Pro Day coming in March. Can you share any logistical information on Pro Day and what you hope that might look like, you know, whether it's going to be possible? And with spring practice, you know, the idea of even beyond the quarterbacks after not having spring practice last year, other than literally having it this year, would you do anything differently to try to make up for maybe some of that lost time that you referenced?
Yeah. We're definitely going to look at a different spring model on how we go about it. I'm going to try to do as many game-like situations as possible for sure. And then also the way that the season ended late, you know, a little bit later here, we have no spring break. So it's going to be a little bit different. And we're still working through that on how we're going to organize it. I think we've got, you know, a bunch of the weeks that we're going to be working pretty much nailed down, but we'll finalize that over the next week or so. And then your other question was regarding, I forget what you asked.
The Pro Day, just the logistics.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we've been in communication with the NFL, Coach Mick and all the people there and their personnel trying to figure that out, how that's going to work, whether it's going to be virtual or how that's going to play out. And so I think those discussions are being had right now and figuring that out. But I know that, you know, we're probably, I guess, a week away from getting that date nailed down and then figuring out the logistics as we get closer to the game.
Alrighty, we'll go next to Joey Kaufman, Columbus Dispatch.
Ryan, another question on Greg's 2 years with you guys. Is there anything he did for the program schematically, culture-wise, just anything you look back on the 2 years that was really important that people might not know about?
I think first off, if you asked, you know, Justin Hilliard and Pete Werner and, you know, all those, you know, the linebackers, you know, that he spent so much time with this year and last year, the relationships that he built here, I think they talked, you know, for a while about, you know, what he meant to them and their development. I think, you know, his first year coming in here with Jeff, the way that they got along and put that together, and that was different. That was a different scheme than what had happened the year before. And 1 year got that on the field, you know, functioning at a high, high level. And then, you know, he and Kerry, Larry being in the room this year, making that transition, you know, that's 3 years of, you know, different dynamics. And Greg was right in the middle of that. And, you know, he was just a steady force and just a calming force with a ton of experience and just, you know, meant so much to everybody in that room. And, you know, I think he deserves a lot of credit for that. And somebody that I leaned on just for advice with all his experience and, you know, unbelievable person. Ian and Ann mean so much to us. And so, again, he had his impact these past couple of years and they've been successful. I mean, we only lost 2 games and a lot of it has to do with Greg.
All righty, we'll go to Patrick Murphy, 247. Patrick.
Ryan, following up on the quarterbacks, I know you said you can't know a ton about these guys until you see them in games, but what do you know, especially Jack and CJ, what did you learn about them throughout last year? What were they able to do in practice? Just kind of give us some preview since we didn't see them, what maybe you do know going into spring that could be, you know, useful as they begin this battle.
I mean, they're both young. They're both, you know, still learning the offense and figuring it out. You know, it's hard when you go from your high school to a college system, you know, and we ask a lot of our quarterbacks in a run game and in the pass game. And so, you know, they're still trying to figure it out. And then really with COVID, and everything that went on this year, it was just very, very unique. Just how we led into it and the wear and tear of the season for everybody, but also for a freshman and then a freshman quarterback. You know, there's just a mental exhaustion right there. So they did a good job of it, better than I expected. But at the same time, I know they were looking for a little bit of a break as they got through to the last game. And now as they come back on campus and get going, now they're fighting to be the starter. And with that comes great responsibility. And being the starting quarterback at Ohio State is unlike any other position there is. And, you know, I think they get that. I think they understand it. I think they were able to see this year what Justin did and the stage and just, the stakes are very, very high here. And I think they learned that. But in terms of the football part, still figuring it out, still learning, I think they both need to get stronger here in the spring physically. And then, you know, they're going to be getting the majority of the reps here as we roll and they're going to compete.
All righty, we'll go next to Tim May, Letterman Row.
Thank you very much. Two quickies. Ryan, appreciate you doing this. Number one, where are you guys on track in terms of, or what have you been told about the vaccination situation dealing with the COVID-19? And then following that up, as you guys work for the getting into the Alabama game, did CJ get most of the reps at quarterback other than Justin? And is he further along in this situation as you guys head into the spring?
Again, I don't think that, either of them are further along than the other, and I think we'll get a better feel for that in the spring. And, we'll see. There's still a lot to be worked through as we get into next September. In terms of the vaccination, I know that there was a lot of the vaccinations here on campus that were given to the first responders and some of our healthcare personnel.
Yeah.
I know that those were the first priority, and that's really what I've heard right now.
We'll go next to Stephen Means, Cleveland.com.
Hey, Ryan, last year you guys kind of kept that large group of early enrollees separate for a while since there were so many of them. And since you've got kind of a similar thing going on here, what's kind of the plan for those guys these first couple of weeks that they get here? When do you plan to maybe bring them in with the rest of the group, especially when one of them is trying to make up as much ground as possible in a quarterback battle?
Yeah, they have a week of quarantine, and then on February 1st, we'll start doing indoctrinate them into mixed program, and then slowly over a couple of weeks start to get them involved with everybody as we get people going again. I think all of these guys they want to come in here and compete, and so as soon as we can kind of get them going and learn how we do things, and then they take off from there. And you're always going to find guys that the guys who are really really hungry, they're going to find ways to get going real quickly, and a lot of it is managing their time. That's a huge part of it. How do you prioritize things? Because in college, you're on your own. You don't have your parents anymore telling you how to manage your time. You have to do that. And the sooner guys can get that organized, the sooner they're going to get on the field. And so we'll start up right away with learning the plays and getting going schematically. And then once Mick gets going with them in terms of what we're doing in the weight room, and then before you know it, we'll be in the first day of practice.
All right. We've got time for a couple more. We'll go to Jeremy Birmingham, Letterman Row.
Ryan, sticking with the mid-year guys, how much of the development track or the expectation change for a class of 14 guys, but almost half of them haven't played competitive football in more than a year because their states that they are in held them off or they chose not to? How does that change what you expect? You don't bring in that many young guys unless you're expecting them to contribute.
Yeah, no, and the great thing is we're going to have a good portion of our team here now from February 1st all the way to the first game of the season, which is great because usually, when you don't have a huge chunk of your guys in at mid-year, you don't, I guess it's, close to, a quarter of your team or 20% of your team isn't there until you get to the summer. Well, now we got the majority of these guys already here. So we can already start on all that stuff and they can get, ahead of the game. But to your point, I think it's going to be more physically than anything. So that's why we got to do a great job getting them in here with Mick and figuring out where they are, what's their baseline. Because as much as they work and they get themselves in shape, it isn't the same. We even found that in the quarantine. Guys were away, and there were some guys who showed up in great shape, but still a lot of the guys, even though they were doing their workouts at home, it's not the same, when you have coaches there driving you and motivating you and pushing you. And so we'll get a feel for it. The guys who are in really good shape, physically in terms of their aerobic shape, their strength, their flexibility, all that stuff without playing for a whole year, we'll definitely have a chance to get on the field faster. The guys who don't, we're going to have to build them up. And we'll look at all that stuff. I think they'll learn quickly. They'll learn the plays. They'll learn the playbook. But my thing, I'm just interested to see what kind of shape they're in physically, football shape. It's one thing to be able to play in high school as a junior. It's another thing to be able to go play in the Big Ten.
Alrighty, next up, Steve Hellwagon, 247.
Yes, Coach. Obviously, you've got the lion's share of your class pretty much set up, but you have another signing day coming up in a few days, and now you know fully what your numbers are and what you can take. Can you share how many more spots you can put out in this second signing period, and any positions you want to shore up or anything that really stands out that you're looking to add? And just one other thing, the idea, is there any play with the NCAA to allow any kind of on-campus visits this spring? in a safe environment for those visiting and for your coaches to welcome prospects?
Yeah, I have not heard any updates on, you know, guys being able to visit on campus as of right now. I guess we're getting closing on a year since we've had recruits on campus, which is amazing, but that's what it is. The other question you asked about, you know, how much room do we have? We really don't have much. We're pretty full right now. Pretty healthy roster. That can always change. There might be one spot available. But other than that, you know, we're pretty full. But again, we'll keep evaluating, keep looking at it. We're certainly continually recruiting some guys here towards the next signing day. And we probably would have a spot for one guy.
Thanks. All right, we'll go to Marcus Hartman, Dayton Daily News.
Hi, Ryan. I was wondering, with Jeremy coming back and just the importance of your tight end the last couple of years, how important is it that Jeremy came back? And then also the importance of finding, you know, one more guy, at least, that you can really rely on heading into this season?
Yeah, it'll be important. And I think, you know, one of the things you do when you compete, you're competing for a spot, but you're also competing in personnel groupings. And we felt like, Luke and Ruck, you know, deserve to be on the field. That's why we were in a lot of 12 last year. So into the spring, you know, are we going to be in more 11? Are we going to be in more 12? Maybe some 20 person? I don't know. It's all kind of based on how the guys compete for these spots and who deserves to be on the field. But Ruck come back is really important. I think, you know, his best football is at him. With the whole off season and all those things, he can really make for us and be a weapon. And then you have to really create some depth in that tight end room going into next fall. I think we've done a good job. Kevin's done a good job of developing that room. But now those guys got to step up now. Missing Jake and Luke going into next fall.
All right, next up, Spencer Holbrook, Letterman Row.
Ryan, when you get a guy like Chris Olave back, does it mean more to get him back for his on-the-field stuff because he's an All-American, or does it mean more to get him back because you've got, other than him, a very, very young wide receiver?
Equally as important. Equally as important. You know, I think it's really you're spot on with his leadership and his approach for that room. I think it's really important because he understands it. He saw Terry McLaurin. He saw Paris Campbell. He saw those guys and their work ethic and what they did, blocking on the perimeter, doing all the little things that matter in the end. And those are the things we've got to improve on in that room. Got some really good talent in there, but they've got to improve on, you know, a lot of areas. And I think Chris is going to really have a huge impact in that room. And I think it gives him an opportunity to step up as a leader and start to have more of a voice. But then obviously on the field, you know, his been great. But we have a really good room there. We have some really good talent, and we need to develop that talent. That's a huge area that we got to focus on here because, you know, you're going to have a young quarterback. But then, you know, those young receivers got to really step up now. And hopefully, you know, Chris can really take over that leadership role and take some pride in, you know, how they're going to practice and develop over the next few months.
All right, we got time for just a couple in this follow-up round. We'll go first to Austin Ward.
Hey, Ryan, what did you do with your week off, quote-unquote, after the game?
Stayed a few days in Florida with the family. Then we headed to New Hampshire. Tried to go two extremes and kind of locked ourselves in the house, got around family a little bit, and then headed back to Ohio. The kids had to get back to school. So it was good. We needed to recharge a little bit, but a little bit in Florida, a little bit in New Hampshire, and then right back to work.
All righty. Next up, we'll go to Doug Lamorese, Cleveland.com.
Ryan, you were part of a open quarterback battle with Dwayne and Joe a couple years ago. Obviously, those are two veteran guys. Now you have three really young guys, but what are you laying out in terms of how you would like to split reps in practice? Do you have a time frame? Would you like to come to some portion of a decision by the end of spring practice? Do you imagine the quarterback battle remains entirely open into preseason camp? I you know, the who is wide open, but I'm just curious where you are in the planning of how you do this quarterback battle.
Yeah, those guys are going to roll and they're going to get as many reps as they can. And then if one guy starts to separate early on, then he goes and runs with it. You know, I kind of look at the spring and the preseason as just a continuation of each other. So, you know, if we have 15 practices in the spring, the first practice of preseason is really practice 16 to me. And as you go along, And usually in these situations, it takes care of itself, you know, and somebody steps up. And if they don't, then we keep rolling from there. I think the exciting thing is that as these guys compete, you know, if you can get a quarterback who, you know, can really grow and learn, then you have somebody that's going to be in the program for a while. And I think that's important where, you know, it's been hard for us because the last two quarterbacks we've had here, you know, after 3 years, they've moved on to the NFL. And so you kind of balance that off. Do you keep a veteran guy here or have a veteran guy that after 1 year could go on to the NFL? Or do you have a young guy that you want to develop, work through some of the growing pains, but then you have them for a couple of years. And so that's the kind of the balance you find here in college. You can't just sign somebody a new contract and have them for, you know, 10 to 15 years, like in the NFL. But that's the same across the board. Everyone's dealing with that. But I think one of the things we're doing here at Ohio State is, you know, we're developing quarterbacks and they're having a lot of success. And so, you know, the NFL comes calling, you know, take Justin, for example, you know, they have him projected really, really high. It's hard to walk away from that. And while it's frustrating, you put a lot of work in, you'd love to see him come back for another year. I'm happy for his family that he's going to have an opportunity to make that kind of money. So kind of took that question sideways, but I guess to answer your question, you know, we're going to kind of roll those guys, let them compete and then, you know, see how they grow.
All righty. And the last question for today, we'll go to Bill Rabinowitz, Columbus Dispatch.
Brian, I know you have a very good working relationship with Gene Smith. He's been mentioned as a prime candidate for the Pac-12 commissioner's job. I mean, I have no idea if he's interested. What are your thoughts on that? How much would you miss him if he did pursue that? And what has he meant to you and the program?
Yeah, Gene and I have had no conversations about that. But what Gene Smith meant to me and my family, forget it. I mean, I could talk about it forever. He's been unbelievable. He's been really strong for us during this last year. Just the way he's led has been tremendous. Learned so much. He and Sheila have been so strong and supportive along the way. And so some of the best stuff is, like, you know, a couple of days before a big game, it'll sit in my office and talk to me for 20 minutes. And it just gives me the confidence to go do my job. So, yeah, he's been unbelievable, not only to me, but everybody here in the department. And his leadership has been unwavering this past year. And probably some of his best work, I would think. Not trying to speak out of school, but he's done a tremendous job. Love him.
Is that a concern for you that he might go?
Oh, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I haven't talked to him about any of that stuff. You know, been kind of focused on this stuff. But yeah, I mean, if anything like that ever happened, certainly that would not be good.
Thanks. All righty, Coach. Thank you very much for your time. Very, very generous today. We certainly appreciate it, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate you.
Thanks, Coach.
Thanks, everyone.